I'm Jane Johnson. I started the Careering into Motherhood community for women who want a career as well as a family. I'd seen too many women leave careers and jobs that they loved because it didn't seem possible to fit it all in around childcare. I want motherhood and ambition to happily coexist. On our Facebook group, Careering into Motherhood, we've got 6,500 women now, and it's all about support, advice, and jobs. Our masterclasses and online workshops give mums the skills to build and remain in fulfilling careers. For more details on all of our upcoming programmes, including career coaching and CV writing, using LinkedIn with purpose, email me jane@careeringintomotherhood.com. During lockdown, through hours of homeschooling and trying to juggle work with a six-year-old in the house, my escapism was perhaps a little bit too often to Instagram, particularly to an account called Muck and Brass, run by Zoe Pocock. It was just so full of colour and optimism and fun. And you know, when you followed someone's posts for so long, you start to wonder a bit more about them. So I dropped Zoe a note and asked if she'd be willing to come on the podcast to talk about her career, how she got into interiors, her own unique style, and her work ethic. I'm genuinely not sure I will ever meet anyone who works as hard as Zoe does. And she's actually had to change her business model quite radically during lockdown and the COVID-19 crisis. But she's gone from strength to strength, and she's got a new TV show coming out on the 20th of July. It's called Weekend Workshop. Definitely make sure you give it a look. It's on Sky and Virgin on HGTV. So when Zoe said yes, we both sat down in our respective places on a Saturday morning to record this interview. What I didn't realise was that my six-year-old had a little play with my microphone just a few days before, so I'm sorry if there's a bit of interference on my sound in a couple of places, but I'm sure you're going to enjoy this interview. We started chatting about how Zoe launched her brilliant business.
Actually, it was a similar, well, not as bad as the pandemic, but it was a similar situation. It was suddenly three people in our household were made redundant. So like, right, okay, this is not great. And, you know, your life's turned upside down. So you've got no money coming in at all. And certainly no, you don't know when you're going to get redundancy money. So basically I started to, like I've always done, just make things when I'm feeling stressed or, you know, I've always been quite crafty and I do like to throw myself into something, what I'm making or try a new craft. But this one was my husband's idea. He's like, I've seen this, this lady, she puts wallpaper on furniture. Her name's Bryony Porter. She's in Selfridges. I think it's really cool. And I went and had a look. I was like, oh my God, it's amazing. And I'd never seen anything like it before. But her prices were like way, way past what I could dream of paying for. So, so I was at home and I was making things for the flat. And so I thought I'd have a go. So me and my husband literally went to a charity shop and bought two pieces. I bought a bookcase, which I now know is a Nathan bookcase. It's really nice. And I do love Nathan furniture. And then a little two-drawer chest, like a bedside cabinet. And on the way home, I nipped into a B&Q and got some sample wallpaper and went home that weekend, made, just painted and decorated, put some wallpaper on, varnished, put them on eBay, and they both sold that weekend. And the feeling of that ka-ching noise on your phone and thinking, oh my God, we've got some money, like we can actually go and buy food. And I was like, right, straight out and bought another piece with some of the money. And that's how it started. I just kept on doing that. And I was working on my balcony.
And had you done any interior design before? Did I read that you were Angelina Jolie's nail technician at one point?
Let's start at the beginning.
Let's start at the beginning.
So I was pregnant with my first, Charlie. This is back in 1993. And while I was pregnant, I decided, right, I'm gonna study. I'm gonna do anatomy and physiology and study aromatherapy because it was quite hip at the time. And like, let me just see what I can do, and then maybe I can work this business out around having Charlie. Because I was naive to the fact, like, yeah, you'd be able to work when you've had a baby. But luckily, I did choose something that I can go to people's houses and I could actually work in the time around a child. So I was doing that, and then I met my husband. And then we had Alfie in 97, and it was difficult suddenly with two kids to do anything, whether it was working from home or not. It is much harder to juggle. So Mike was working two jobs. So we got offered by his parents to go and take over their pub in Shropshire And I was like, this is brilliant. I can work because I've always wanted to work. I don't like not doing anything. And I thought this would be just perfect. We're living and working, so let's go. And I love the country. And I thought, oh, I could have horses again. I got this ideal in my head. So off we went to the middle of nowhere. And my husband hated it.
I love it. These people just go from London. I'll just go move to the country.
Who cares? We'll move back if it's like it doesn't work. We'll move back. I mean, I'm a yes person. I'll say yes to everything and then decide, yeah, no, it's actually, I don't want to do it now because of the fear of missing out or like it, what doors it could open, you know. But I did love it. And yeah, we were there for a good few years and we had a few more pubs after that as well. I mean, we struggled there too because in the years we were there, we had fuel crisis, foot and mouth disease. Floods, like it was hard, and you've got a country pub trying to get people to come and eat and drink in your pub. So, you know, I learned a lot there.
Yeah, about running a business.
Yeah. Then I decided I wanted to open a nail and beauty salon in one of the villages that we were in with this pub, the next pub. And I thought I would go and just do some courses and I'll learn how to do it. Bearing in mind, I'd not really been to a beauty salon before then. I thought, I'm going to do this. So, and opposite, there was this building, opposite this pub was this little building that was never really used. So I asked the estate, can I rent it? And I opened, it was called the Beauty Barn. And I did two things. So firstly, I opened up where you could just, it was called like a bit like an event. So you'd pay a fee, you'd get some nibbles, a glass of champagne or wine, and you'd have a small treatment. So people could use it as a way to go. So bearing in mind, you're living in the countryside. There's not many places to go out. A lot of farmers' wives or people live there and just like, so it became very popular, go and meet up. So a lot of women don't want to have to go to the pub. And then so it evolved into more of a nail bar during the day as well, to the point where my husband, while the pub was shut during the day, my husband went out on a course and he started working in the salon doing nails as well. And he still does now. He's much bigger doing nails now than me. So, and that's how it evolved there. And then I decided I'd move to London to go and work for a big nail technician, Marion Newman. She was opening a nail bar in Charles Worthington. So moved down there and then it just took off. Suddenly I was doing magazines and I was working on films like Maleficent with Angelina Jolie. It just, it was amazing, amazing time. And then Mark and I got some product ideas and brought out some products. But of course, then we got made redundant and it was just like everything changed like in a day, in a whole day, like the whole world had been tipped upside down. But that was the best thing that ever happened to us. And it truly was. I'm not kidding. So back then it was horrible. And it took me years to get over it. It was just like, I put on loads of weight. I was, oh yeah, it was horrible. You lose friends as well. I mean, not many people talk about this. You only go through something so horrible, you actually lose friends. And then that fuels it because you get so paranoid as to why you might have lost those friends, even though it might not have been that way. All these things, awful. But obviously now it's turned into, yeah, the best thing that ever happened to us because I didn't know you could make a living doing something you really love. I thought I had to pick a creative career. And the most creative when I left school was hairdressing. And it was that or what else can you do? Because you can't earn money doing it. And that's seriously how it was when I was younger. So to suddenly think, all those years, I didn't even have to do nails because that was the nearest thing to being creative. You know, I didn't really love doing nails. I mean, I did like being creative, but this is me. This is what I do now is totally me.
Do you think that what you did, you know, you almost have to take those steps because I've been in careers that, you know, just was so wrong for me. And yet I wouldn't be where I am now. Makes me sound, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now if it hadn't been for those other shitty jobs.
Yeah, totally. But I wouldn't have done it for as long. Maybe that would have been nicer and maybe not have to have gone through all of that crap. No, it was not as nice. But yeah, I mean, it's funny how life is. But what it's taught me is like, I've through and through, whatever I've done, I've always been the same. I'll say yes and I'll do things and I'll do things. Like when I decided to open a nail bar, no one questioned me. I just knew what I'm doing. I had no idea. Like, I just know it was right because when you feel passionate and you really truly believe it's the right thing to do, everyone around you believes that too. What was, you know, the worst thing that was going to happen? It already happened to me. You're not going to have any money. Let's do it. And Muck and Brass has been totally organic. So it was, I am thankful that I started it with no money because it makes you take better decisions, I think. It makes you look at things better. It makes you more savvy, more thrifty, all these things. It's easy to go and pay for something to be quick. And sometimes you need that lesson that's learned by not doing it the quick way.
Yeah, that's really true. It's really true. And I'm at a point in my business right now, actually, where like, do I pay someone else to do this or do I learn and do it myself, which is exhausting and much more time consuming.
100%.
Do it yourself. Do it yourself. So, yeah.
You need to craft. Everyone needs to craft at their craft. When we had one of our businesses, I used to pay someone to do our social media. I am appalled at myself of how easy it is. And I was paying someone who wasn't even actually that good, it turns out. Like now I know about it. That is the core of your business, social media, right now. And you pay someone else to do it. Paying someone else to do this. This is you. This is your thing. It wouldn't be you and it wouldn't be your thing if you didn't do it.
Yeah, it's really interesting, especially with you, because I don't think I would have ever, I think I came across you through Hunsnet, which again, another one that's got me through lockdown, boring. And I probably wouldn't have come across you otherwise, unless it was social media. And I think it's because you're so authentic.
But it's something that we all do, and we're all guilty of doing, paying someone to do something because we don't know how to do it. Like yesterday, for example, and people will laugh when they hear this, like, I was trying to work out, and I put a post on our Instagram about how I could put documents up, PDF files, of all the workshops I've done in lockdown for people to download for free. It sounds very easy, but is it? For me, it's not, because I'm not this type of person. I spent all day effing and jeffing. I tried every avenue. I looked at everyone's comments to see how they suggested I do it. And I one by one went through, right, okay, I'm going to put them on Pinterest and then I'm going to put the link out. No, couldn't work that out. Next one. I'm going to create a Google document and I'm going to put a link in. No, couldn't work that out. At 11 o'clock last night, I finished. And basically, it was so easy. But because I'd never done it and I had no idea, you have to go through all of that. And you do need to do it yourself. Because if you start paying people to come into your business, and you get them to do everything. When they go, you will never know. You need to know first. Then you can bring someone in because you know how it can be looked after better as well. And it is tough, but just learn. I hate learning like that now because it's something I don't love. Do you know what I mean? If it was learning a new craft, I'm all over it. I'll spend all day. I'll be up still now probably from last night trying to learn it. But a document on a laptop, I just don't deal with it very well. The sense of achievement was 100 last night. I was like, yes, she's done it. And I've shared it and people are downloading it and it was working. I mean, it was just all going off because tech and me. But that's the thing. You just need to learn these things because things change all the time.
And so I want to talk a little bit about that. So before COVID-19, I think you used to run workshops, didn't you? Teaching people how to do these fantastic things, crafts. But you've obviously, again, there, you've had to pivot your business. How have you done that? How's it gone?
Okay, well, as soon as lockdown happened, I went straight and did live workshops for people to watch for free. Because obviously I couldn't do anything. A lot of my work had also dried up because I was doing restaurant furniture. I was doing hotels in Ibiza, gone. So I was like, right, okay, let's help everyone because I'm doing nothing and I need to come to my workshop. I started this because my mental health was like shriveled up from being made redundant and stuff. This business has kept me going for years and it makes me feel good. And doing workshops live with people has fed me because I know that feeling they're going through. A lot of people come here to want to learn something new because they don't like their job. They need to earn more money. They need to change their lifestyle. They want to try something new. And I know that feeling. So I've really fed off them and I love it. So suddenly I'm not having these people in. I'm like, oh my God, no, I need to. And it sounds like it's a bit selfish, but I thought I need to feel that I'm doing something because I can't just sit there. So I went straight away and did live workshops on my phone for an hour.
And did you know that people would buy into it and get it? No, you just took a punt.
I never even done it. But in my head, I knew, right, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I get. I get an idea. I think, yeah, I'll just run with it. It could be a massive flop, but I just people don't notice my massive flops because I've gone somewhere else next day.
Yeah, no, but that's a really, really good point.
Just don't focus on the flops.
Yeah, exactly. I often do. I get so bogged down. Oh, that didn't work. And then I find it harder to get back up and just move on to the next thing.
I don't have that problem.
No, elephant hide.
So, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm very sensitive. I'm like very affected by things. But I also know I've learned to just say yes to them and do everything. Because, yeah, you don't focus on one particular thing then. You've got too many other things to think about. Like doing the documents last night or all day yesterday, I was still thinking in my head, oh, my God, I've got to do a cow bum lamp by Monday. Like, where am I going to fit this in? And that's good. It gives you a bit of pressure. You need to pressurise yourself a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. And also, let's talk about you've got a new TV show coming up. Which you've done, again, another thing you've done during lockdown.
I know. And that's pretty much come about from doing live videos. So that just shows you how many doors things can open. I would never have done these lives, and I wish I'd done them years ago. Isn't that insane? Because I've always been very active on social media. Didn't think anyone would want to see me doing live stuff. So you've got to look at you've got to put it out there and ask people questions. What do you want to see? How do you want it done? Because you'll never know, you'll stay in your own little bubble and you don't realise how much it can change your business and your life, actually, like this TV show.
Yeah. I mean, because you are so active on social media, I guess, firstly, how do you switch off because it is 24/7 from that? And where's the sort of barrier in your brain or on your phone that says, okay, I mean, I don't
know. There is none.
But in terms of putting the phone down and not being, because it is all engrossing. There's always someone commenting and writing.
I have a problem, I reckon. I am addicted to my business. I've often thought this, but I don't see that's a bad thing. Like, why not? It helps loads of people. It helps me. It's not affecting anyone in a negative way at all. In fact, quite the opposite. So why should I feel bad that I am on my phone at every given moment? My husband goes mad because I'll open my eyes because I wake up really early. I don't get out of bed. I wake up like between 4 and 5 a.m. every day. Like, and I'm straight on my phone. And my husband's like, oh, my God. But you just got to stay healthy. Like, if you're doing what I'm doing and it's not working for you, just don't do it. But it works for me. It's fine. There isn't a problem. No one's missing out. And it's not affecting anyone, like I say, in a negative way. So I'm not going to change that. Just to pander to all the lazy people around me. No.
I love it. I'm feeling lazy now. You said to me, oh yeah, we could record this. I get in early on a Saturday. I was like tentatively suggesting 10 a.m. You're like, I've done half a day's work by then, love.
And it's fine to be different. It's just like, I don't just look at someone and say, oh, they're lazy, they're not doing anything. I really don't. I do when they come to me and say, why isn't my business doing well? And I'm like, and you're working 2 days a week. Like, what do you expect? You really are only going to get out what you put in. That is the truth. And yeah, you don't have to be mad like me. But I think I have become addicted, truly, to how it's made me feel, how I can make other people feel by sharing. And that's why I've put all my workshops for free to download on the net, because it really will help so many people, because I've been there. And when I first started doing this, there were hardly any videos online about how to do what I was trying to do. And also, it was very dull. Like, I felt like it was weird. Why has no one done what I'm doing? Because so that stopped me doing a lot of stuff at the beginning, because I thought, why hasn't no one else done it? But don't be scared. Just do it. They haven't done it because no one's thought of it. But you do question yourself all the time, especially when you work on your own. But it's fine.
And so, yeah, that's interesting. When you work on your own, I mean, I would say no one's done what you've done, because that's the sign of a true creative. But do you just literally get an idea and you try it, and if it doesn't work, then you move on to the next thing? Or do you have someone who's a sort of mentor, soundboard, whatever?
I'm going to give you my first example of doing something quite out there. I'd been a couple of months into Muck and Brass, and I'd moved from the balcony now, and I'm in the lounge working on it now instead. So I've gone up a gear, and I bought a two-drawer dress, I think. Yeah, it's two-drawer on eBay, but unfortunately, because I didn't look at it properly and see it up real close, when it arrived, it was nothing like I thought it was going to be. It was like a veneer, I thought, oh no, this. And at the time, there was no paint for furniture that you could paint over veneer. So, and that was only a few years ago. That just shows you actually how this whole business has evolved in like 3 years. So I thought, what am I going to do? Anyway, so I went on the internet and found this most insane flamingo, pink flamingo wallpaper. I thought, I'm going to get that. It's only £10 a roll. It was in a bargain bin on Wallpaper Direct for £10. I'm going to get it and completely cover it, like wrap it, like you wouldn't see a seam on it. Do the drawers, the sides, everything. So I did. And my husband went, oh my God, who's going to buy that? Anyway, this story gets brilliant after this. So it sold, obviously. And it's one of my first pictures on my Instagram, if you can be bothered to scroll like 6 years down. Someone bought it and I went, oh, I sort of recognize that name. And I said to my husband, because my husband works in fashion, obviously he does nails still. I said, is this Susie Bubble? It was one of the biggest fashion bloggers. It says Susie Lau. And I was like, it's her, isn't it? So I said, right, I'm going to deliver myself. So I drove it to her, pretended I didn't know her. I was like, hi, here's your baby. Oh, I might recognize you. And then we got chatting. And I saw I used to work in fashion, do nails as well, and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, cut long story short, driving home. Couldn't use my map on my phone because the notifications were flinging up so much because she Instagrammed it basically. Oh my God, my phone, I pulled up. That was the first time something major, like someone bought my piece. Because this is the thing, and this is basically what happened then. No one has ever had my furniture for free, ever. They've always paid all the celebrities, anyone, because I'm a small business. I don't do collabs as much as like maybe I'll, if I like someone a lot, I'll say, right, can we do a giveaway or, you know, can we do a little swapsy or whatever. I'm not an influencer. That's not where I am. I'm muck and brass and we make furniture and I teach people. So I'm not really one of those interior influencers that promote everything they pretend they love for money. And I'll only post about it truly on my stories if I really love something. And genuinely, I have to put up that I've bought it because people think it's always a gift because I have to do it the other way around and say, no, I haven't bought this. Yeah, so that was the first time someone had like posted, bought it and posted because she didn't have to because that girl like gets a lot of money to post. Well, she gets designer clothes from, yeah, like we're talking next level. So that was a mass. That took me to 1,000 followers. Now, back then, 6 years ago was insane because Instagram hadn't been around that long. And yeah, so I was like, oh my God, she gave me the belief that actually, yes, someone does want this sort of stuff because it's different. And I was like, and it's Susie Bubble of all people, like it's fashion. So maybe it is a bit lit out there, but sod it. Anyway, so I started to make a lot of this stuff, a lot of furniture in that particular print. Then I was actually got a call from Wallpaper Direct who was selling it. Basically what happened, they were selling it off in a bargain bin because of their sales had gone up so much in that design. They bought the rights and the machine to that wallpaper in Germany, reintroduced it. That's why you see it so much at the moment. It's been bought back. Isn't that crazy? All because I thought, yeah, I'm just going to do this. And it opened all those doors to different things.
It's really interesting though, because there's an element of right place, right time. But then obviously it's fused with, again, your own go get it, go out, you're smart, the smarts, I guess. Yeah.
I'm not clever. I've just got energy. And everyone thinks I'm really busy, but I do so many yes things. That they, you don't see how many things I said no to or it went wrong. That's what it is. You know, it's not all goes great. It really doesn't. But because I do so much and I say yes to so much and I try to do so much, then you miss out how many hundreds of things didn't go right and I tried out. I've got a workshop full of stuff that will never happen or has happened and it didn't work. You know, you've got to, there are so many things. I'm going to bring out a rope paint brand. Didn't get there yet. Like, you know, it's just so many things. Collaborations with wallpaper didn't work out. You know, you only see the good bits because it's quite bright and big and in your face. So you just think it's just that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, Yeah. I wanted to talk a bit about the collaborations, because you also now, having grown your own business, you use your, you say you're not an influencer, but you do influence people and, or, you know, what they buy and so on. And you're doing quite a lot now with much smaller brands, independent brands, to help, I know, some of your face masks and things, aren't you?
So first, I started off with collaborations in wallpaper. So that one, I know what sells. I've now worked out what sells in our particular company, and I know what our customers like, and I know what will do well, but it's often stuff I can't do. And this is to back up the thing that I was just saying about sometimes things go wrong. Now, wallpaper out, but I can't draw and I can't paint. So I came across, my first collaboration was with Laura. I came across her because I found a wallpaper I loved and I wanted that style, but I had my own design. So when you create wallpaper, you get paid basically a one-off fee, and then that's it. And you're not allowed to say you've done it. So I was like, that's pretty shit. Like, that's not fair. So I met Laura, and she was working in a florist. So she couldn't really afford to do the job she loved. I said to her, look, I've got a wallpaper. I've got my designs. I know what I want. If you do them, I'll give you 10% of every sale of everything. So whether it's wallpaper, fabric, and that's ongoing, and you can say you've done it, and you can share it, whatever. Like, how do you feel about that? She went, oh my God, yeah. Cut to now, like, we've got 6 designs out with her. So, like, she gets 6 different commissions every month. And I bought out others. We've bought out Marcy's one. So it was not just about, I just know what sells, but I know what I can't do. And it's great to share and have someone, because obviously my wallpaper wouldn't sell as well as it does if Laura hadn't painted it, you know? So, you know, it works both ways. And then so the masks now, I can't make masks. I could probably, but now my business has evolved. I don't want to sit there in the sewing machine and make 20 masks tonight. But I used to, and I would have done. I just thought there's so many good seamstresses out there. And I also put a call out as well, because I thought, you know, some of them have been undervalued because their work is much higher. So many people are making them very cheaply, like some people selling for 3 quid. I don't know how they could afford to do that. That these people that make them really well need to be like, need a little bit of a boost. So yeah, I collected a few of them. I didn't know how big it was going to be, I'll be honest. Everyone was going crazy. I was getting people really pissed off and messaging me, why don't you tell us? I was like, oh my God, I'm trying to help you. I'm like, please give us a second. Like, I can't keep up. Anyway, so the first lady, Martina, she made the most amazing masks. Even I bought one, I had to sell mine. And she said, I was gone back to Italy for a month to see her family. And I was like, this is not good. Like, you can't do this to me. Anyway, so we're not getting them till August. But then the next one, who was there? Oh, there's so many. But now I've got them all making more. And now I've got to the point, like, how many can you physically make a night at good quality? Because this is just getting ridiculous now. Yeah, but it's been great. And, you know, some of them are seamstresses. Some of them are artists. And it allows you to share with them their pages and stuff, and maybe open doors for them, because their quality has been amazing. And what I loved is being able to have 5 different people making 5 different types of masks, how they would make them. So it catered to different tastes.
Will you always, because obviously, you know, as you grow, this seems to be the problem. As companies grow, then they look at ways to keep costs down and cut corners.
And do that anyway. You have to do that anyway. You're running a business and you don't care about your costs, then you're not going to be around for very long.
Yeah.
I'm always trying to keep them down. Everything we do is made in the UK, whether it's fabric, wallpaper, wrapping paper, card. It's all made in the UK, and we try to support small businesses as much as possible. Of course, we use big businesses as well, like everyone does. But the core of what I do and what I love is, yeah, just supporting and changing things. Also, this is the hard thing to explain, but because my brain is so, it's like if you had spaghetti in an old tin and chucked it on the floor, that's what my brain's like, right? You sort of have to, you can't promise anything because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Like, I might have another idea and I'm not going to say, oh, you know, it's right now, this is my goal, is just to keep it as it is, ticking along, changing things. And it's what's happened by just doing that in 6 years is that we've actually created a brand, which is not what I set out to do.
That's amazing, because it's such a strong brand.
Exactly. And I think that's possibly what it's all about. It's being yourself, and people get to know you, and people will invest in a person that they truly trust. And that's all I can say to anyone that wants to start their own business, whether it's from home, on their kitchen table, or wherever, you love it, mainly. That's the first one. You got to love it. Secondly, be true to yourself and let your brand take off on its own, because you might not be able to do that. And thirdly, just try things, whether they fail or not. It's, in fact, I think failure is good. I think that's how I got here. Lots of things failed.
Yeah. But it's how you pick yourself up, surely. And you clearly do, Zoe. You've got something in you that goes, okay, I'm going to get back up.
I've got to earn money. I can't sit there moping. And that's how it's been from the beginning. Three of us in our household had no job. Three. One was at school. There was no money. And suddenly, when you go through having money and not having to think about money, suddenly having nothing, when you go to a shop and forget that you've got no money, like you go to food and forget that you can't pay for your food, like your brain switches into a different, it's a survival. That ka-ching on eBay has never left me. Every time I hear that ka-ching, I've got it on my phone now because I can't not have it. It's almost like a therapy. It's like, you know, when you click a train your dog. That's me with the ka-ching on my website. Like, oh, we can eat. Oh, we can eat. It's like, it's all I remember.
But it works.
It's like, I don't want to lose this because this has helped me so much mentally and also physically and emotionally. All sorts. I love it. I love coming in here. And I also understood how people were feeling at home in lockdown, because I had this place to come. Can you imagine suddenly not being able to come here? I couldn't have dealt with that. I really couldn't. So that was another reason to do these lives. It's like, shit, people need help out there, because I couldn't deal with it. I know I couldn't.
Yeah. Well, Zoe, I could carry on talking to you for hours, but I'm really conscious you've got loads to do and get on. And so I have one final question. Where do you get your creative inspiration from?
Everywhere. Honestly, everywhere. Yeah. The funny thing is, I'm glad you can't see me right now. I've got the eyes closed on. I look a terrible mess because I'm actually going to do a workout in the workshop in a minute. I'm trying to get rid of my lockdown laziness look.
Aren't we all?
But I have more creativity when I'm wearing my worst clothes. And like today, I feel like, oh, I could try some new things today. But I look like, please don't turn up at the door, anyone. Please don't. But I just get it anywhere. Just things pop in my head. And it's not like going to the museums, things like that. I mean, honestly, I don't even have time for that, but just anywhere.
Oh, love it. Anyway, thank you so much for your time. It's been great. And I look forward to following you again, following your progress with the new show and everything. Thanks very much.
Yes, don't forget to watch the new show, HGTV, 20th of July, 8 p.m. every week.
What an incredible woman and businesswoman Zoe is. She's just continued to reinvent herself, but stayed completely true to herself and her own creativity. And as she talked about there in the interview, how important that outlet has been for her and her mental health throughout her life, and obviously particularly, I think, for a lot of people during lockdown. I'm absolutely over the moon that she agreed to come on. It's an interview that will stay with me for years. And if you know anyone who's interested in starting their own business or is going through a bit of a dip, has been made redundant, get them to listen to Zoe and follow her, because she really is the bounce back queen. I'm so grateful to her. I hope you enjoyed this interview. Please leave a review. It really, really helps us. And if you'd like any information about any of the things we talked about there or our coaching programs, please email me, jane@careeringintomotherhood.com.